Good morning. I'm glad to see everyone who is with us this morning. I had something that has been on my mind quite a bit over the last, I don't know, month or so that I wanted to share with you this morning. And I want to start out by asking a question this morning. What does it mean to be a disciple of Christ? I mean, what does it mean to follow Jesus? When Jesus said, "Follow me," what was he really asking? You know, one of the problems I see today is that many think that when they become a Christian, what that really means is they add Jesus into their life. Hey, I'm doing all of these great things, and so now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to add Jesus into the mix. And that's what they do. And we somehow think that the idea of Jesus being a part of it is going to be, you know, okay, he can just have this part of my life, you know. And maybe they change a few things. Perhaps now they listen to some Christian music, right? The idea of praise and worship songs, they listen to that instead of what they used to listen to. Maybe they don't say some things that they used to say, and now they've replaced that with some Christian lingo. And so they talk the talk. And maybe even they have changed some of their friends. And they don't hang out with some of the people they used to, but now they hang out with their Christian brothers and sisters. And so, ta-da, I'm a Christian, I'm following Jesus. Let me tell you something. That is not what our Lord calls us to when he says, "Follow me." There is so much more to it. And today, I want us to look at a passage of Scripture that's very challenging when we really think about how it works. I want us to really look at that. It's a call for us to examine ourselves and our lives in light of what Jesus wants with us. The relationship that Jesus calls us to. And it's a passage, honestly, when we look at it, that leaves little ground and little room for self-deception. Okay? Before we get into that, I want to point something out to you. When you study what it means to follow Jesus, if you go through the Gospels and you study what it means when Jesus calls people to follow him, you're going to find a pattern. Okay? When you study this, what you're going to see is time after time after time, when somebody says, "Yes, I want to follow you," Jesus gets to this point where he challenges them to define the relationship that they want with him. Are you going to have a casual relationship with me, or are you truly committed? Time after time after time, Jesus does this with those who say they want to follow him. And what you see is many times those people who say they want to follow Jesus, when he says, "Okay, it's time to really choose," what they expose themselves as is more of an enthusiastic admirer of Jesus than somebody who truly wants to follow after Jesus. Right? It's not that they don't want a relationship with Jesus, but they just want the relationship with Jesus on their terms. And so I think the real question that we need to think about as we look at this text is this: what kind of relationship does Jesus want with us? What is he calling us to? What are his terms? What does he say that it means to follow him? Right? And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to Luke chapter 9, verse 23, because the great thing about it is that Jesus defines for us exactly what that is. He tells us what his expectations are, okay? And it spells out his terms for the relationship so that we know that what we're agreeing to. All right, I want to read this passage for us. We're going to spend our lesson on Luke chapter 9 and verse 23. And believe me, I can spend a long time talking about one verse. You're about to find out. All right, here we go. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, he says, "And he said to all, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" All right. I want us to break this text down this morning. I want us to really understand what Jesus wants from us in his relationship. That the teaching that Jesus gives here starts with this phrase that I want to draw your attention to. It says, "If anyone desires to come after me," we sometimes kind of skip over that, and we assume that there's a will there, or there's, you know, a desire. But, you know, what's interesting about that phrase is that it was a common phrase during the first century. And during that time frame, that would be a phrase that we would use, that you would use in terms of a romantic relationship. If you wanted to pursue somebody to become your spouse, you would use a lot of that same terminology, desires to come after them, right? You're choosing to pursue in a relationship, that relationship. And so when we talk about this, when Jesus uses these words, if you were a first century person, you would have heard the idea that Jesus wants you to have a pursuit of a relationship. It's not just some kind of a passing thought, fancy, hey, that might be kind of nice. That's not what we're talking about here. Jesus wants us to understand, and I think the best way that we could understand this is to compare it with, how you would pursue somebody whom you want to have that marital type relationship with, right? I mean, when you are pursuing that romantic kind of love, it makes you do some pretty crazy things, right? Okay, all you guys out there, you know you did, so you go ahead and say yes, because if not, your wives will tell on you, right? I mean, think about it. I know from my own experience when I was dating Lacey, when I was pursuing her, there was some pretty crazy things. I got down on one knee in front of the entire high school and sang to her. After that summer, I worked with my uncle on a bread route. And if you've ever worked a bread truck route, you know what this means. It means you get up at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning every morning, right? And if you know me, time does not exist any earlier than it has to in the mornings, okay? I mean, just saying, but... So I would get up at 4 or 5 o'clock, whatever it called for that day, and I would work on the bread route till like 7 or 8. We'd go home. I'd shower. I'd go spend time with Lacey. I'd go back home about midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning and get up and do it all over again. And y'all are like, that's crazy, right? You're probably right. Okay. I remember saving up all of my money to buy her expensive jewelry. I even learned about a bad lesson about credit cards. You know, they'll give you money that's not really yours to spend. I did that. I remember one time I drove my, because I had a motorcycle. That was my first vehicle to go back and forth to college with. Listen, did you know it's cold in October, November in Oklahoma? Did you know that? I found that out. I came down to visit her, and then this cold front moved in, and I drove 2 hours back to my college camp, and I got off, and I was like, like near hypothermia, right? Why? Because I wanted a relationship with her. I was pursuing her. And as I thought about this idea, there are several examples that I can give of how I pursued her heart, how I would come after her. And it's easy to get nostalgic and look back at all the things. And why? Because I spent so much time chasing her, pursuing her heart. And I wouldn't trade any of that for the world. But as I thought about that again, and I looked back at my relationship with Christ, I don't have near so many stories about how I pursued Christ that way. I don't have near so many stories about my relationship with Christ that make people go, wow, that's crazy. Why would you do that? How could you do that? Do you? When you think about your relationship with Christ, are you really one that comes after Him? Do you desire that relationship? And I'll be honest, let's be real. Most of us didn't grow up thinking about our relationship with Jesus Christ this way. Okay, at least I didn't. I'll speak for myself on that one. Right? We grew up where following Him was kind of more of a casual thing we did on the weekends with our friends, You would go to a worship service on Sunday. You would maybe, if you were really good, you would hand out some bulletins or something to help the minister out. I'm going to get some brownie points here or whatever, right? And you didn't get too carried away with it. Like, it was a Sunday kind of a thing, maybe a Wednesday if you were those really, really, really good people, But that was really about as far as it went. Jesus wants us to understand that that's not what He wants from us. He wants us to pursue a relationship with Him. And in a matter of fact, He wants us to pursue it with the idea and the intent that it might cost us everything. I mean, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells this parable. We call it the pearl of great price, where the man finds, as out in the field, he finds this valuable pearl. He covers it back up. And what does he do? He goes and he sells everything he has so that he can buy that. Jesus calls us to have that kind of desire for Him, where we're willing to risk it all, to give it all up, to have that relationship with Him. And let me tell you, it may cost you everything, but it will be the best decision you will ever make, because it is worth it. Sometimes, though, it seems to me that we want to have just enough of the pleasure without having any of the risk that goes with it. We want to enjoy what's available to us without really having to sacrifice to get it. We want that relationship with Jesus as long as it doesn't cost us too much. He goes on in this verse, he says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." Now, these are some pretty powerful words, because sometimes people want to follow Jesus, but they don't want to let go of self either. And they try to take self and they try to take Jesus and tie those two together. The problem is, they don't go together. And that's just really the way it works. The truth is, we cannot come after Jesus and follow our own path at the same time. They don't work. You know, we talk a lot about how being a Christian means, oh, you got to believe in Jesus. You got to believe in Jesus. And that's true. We do have to have faith and believe in Jesus. But that relationship with Jesus also means we have to deny ourselves. We don't talk much about that. We don't talk much about how following after Christ means I can't follow after me. I can't pursue my own heart, my own desires. Right? And one way that we do this frequently is we like to compartmentalize our life, right? Brother Ray's brought this up a couple times in his class on Wednesday nights. You know, we like to say, hey, you know, Jesus, you can have this part, this part, this part, this part, but this, that one's mine. That's what we do. Jesus, I'll give you everything except this. This one I'm keeping. You're not welcome in here, Jesus. Let me tell you something. That's not how it works. That's not our choice. Jesus never left open the option for, you know, selective commitment. He didn't say, if anyone would come after me, let him deny most of himself, or some of himself, or a part of himself. If you want to come after Jesus, you have to be willing to deny yourself. If we call ourselves a Christian, that means we are going to submit to the Lordship of Christ in all of our lives. Not that we're going to follow perfectly, but we're not going to reserve the things that we want to keep for ourselves either. And this is hard. This is hard for us. You know, if you keep going in Luke chapter 9, you run across this parable of the rich young ruler, right? And one of the things that I find interesting about this is Jesus calls him for that complete commitment. He's like, he's thinking he's got it made. Hey, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? Oh, just keep, oh, I've done that. Yep, what else? And Jesus says, you lack one thing. All right, go sell what you have, give to the poor, and then come and follow me. And the young man walks away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. You see, he wanted to say yes to Jesus without saying no to himself. He wanted to have both. And Jesus says, it can't work that way. Are you going to follow me or are you not? Are you willing to give up everything? You know, when we talk about this idea of denying selves is not part of the deal, right? I mean, when you became a Christian, a lot of times for us, when we became Christians, this was not talked about, or if it was, it was kind of like one of those little fine prints on the commercials where you got to like pause the TV and zoom it in like five times to actually see what they're saying. Because there's these conditions and clauses that they want to throw in at you when you get there. Sometimes we treat Christianity the same way. Oh, believe in Jesus. That's the big bold at the cross, but then in the fine print, oh, and deny self. That's the way we treat it. And I believe that's really true of us as American Christians. I'll be honest. Our culture of capitalism and Christianity has just come together, and what we have is consumer-driven churches. And I just want you to think about this, right? Instead of approaching our relationship with Jesus as, what can I do for Jesus? How can I honor and glorify Christ? A lot of times what we teach in America is we teach people to ask this question, what can Jesus do for me? And we teach them that because we market Jesus like he's a product to be sold. Let me tell you all the things that Jesus, yes, Jesus can do those things. But let me tell you, it's not free. It's not a give me. It's not a giveaway. Right? You know, and I want you to think about it this way. That's a great way to create customers and consumers. It's a dangerous way to try to create disciples. I want you to think about that because I believe that's 100% true. The mentality in American churches seems to be this. We measure ourselves like companies measure. How many people do we have? How many customers can we attract? How do you attract a customer if you're a company? You want to keep the customer happy. You want to give them what they want. You got to market the product, in this case, following Jesus, right? To come off as appealing as possible. That's the way we approach it. So then somebody comes in and they're church shopping. That's the terminology we like to use, right? Okay. And we go, what do we do? How do we respond? Oh, let me show you all the things that we have to offer. Welcome to our sales pitch. I want you to contrast that with what Jesus says here. Jesus says, you want to follow after me? Deny yourself. Tell me, how much business do you think Jesus would make with that kind of a slogan? You see, the invitation of Jesus is give up everything in pursuit of me. And sometimes it feels like the church today has more like the slogan of Burger King, your way right away. But that's not how a relationship with Jesus works. We don't get to define the terms. He does. Matter of fact, when you look at through the Bible at how they understand their relationship with Jesus, they have a very different image that they present. They present the idea of slave. I want you to think about that, slave. This is pretty much the exact opposite of a consumer because slaves don't get their way anytime. Right? They don't get the day off. They don't get to go home and prop their feet up when they're done. They don't have rights and privileges. A lot of times in the first century, they didn't even have their own personal identity. They were the property of somebody else. Now compare that image with the way we try to present it today. I mean, and if you don't think, if you think I'm crazy, look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant, bondservant, slave of Jesus Christ. James says the same thing in James 1:1. Peter says the same thing. 2 Peter 1:1. They didn't see themselves as what they were going to get from Jesus. They saw themselves as slaves to Jesus. And this is hard for us because in America, we grow up in homes that teach us to go to school and study hard and go to college and get degrees that make lots of money so that we can live in a big old house and drive nice fancy cars and take long expensive vacations and post pictures on social media so everybody else will be jealous. That's what we do. I mean, think about it this way. When we ask our children, when we're teaching our children, and you say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do they say? I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be whatever. How many times have you ever heard a child say, hey, I want to be a slave? And yet that's the very image that the Bible calls us to. The Bible says that the highest calling for us is to be a slave who denies himself and follows Jesus. And we struggle with this concept today. We struggle at parts because we think of slavery as something that's forced upon us, but guess what? This is something that Jesus invites us to. He doesn't force us to become his slaves. If you want to come after him, if you choose this relationship, know that this is what, but it's not a forced thing, right? And so the question then becomes, why would anybody ever want to be a slave? Like really, who would choose that? And we think about it, but actually it's not a foreign concept. In the Old Testament, people did. In Deuteronomy chapter 15, verses 16 and 17, it talks about the motivation for somebody choosing to become a slave. It says, if your servant says to you, I do not want you to leave because he loves you and your family and is well off with you, the motivation, you see, is as crazy as it sounds and looks to everybody else, that slave looks at their master and says, I love you. And I know I'm better off with you than I am out there on my own. And so I want to be here with you forever. That's my choice. And if you go on in the text, he'll say you take them to the wall and you take the awl and you bore out a hole in their ear, right? That's that whole song, Pierce My Ear. That's what the idea is behind that song. We're choosing to be a bondservant of Jesus, of God. And so it's out of love that we become a slave to Jesus. That's what he wants. When we surrender all that we have, then and only then will we discover really what life is about. He goes on. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. You know, if we struggle with the idea of denying ourselves, right? We're really going to struggle with this part. I mean, to put it more in our culture today, right? If Jesus was had a slogan, do you know what his slogan would be? Come and die. If Jesus had a logo for his church, do you know what it is? The cross. And we think, oh, I know, I love it. I got some cross earrings, or I got a cross necklace. I got a WWJD cross bracelet. No. No. That's not what the cross was. It wasn't something cutesy and fun that they wore around as a status symbol. It was an instrument of torture, death. When you really understand what the cross was in the first century, the cross was a symbol of humiliation. I don't know if you think about it that way. You know, the Romans, they were very good at killing people. Go study history. Like, crucifixion was not the only way they killed people. They would burn people with fire. They had stoning. They could pull out their sword and just slice you. They would give you a drink with hemlock and you're gone. They had quick and easy, cheap ways of killing somebody. But crucifixion, that required soldiers. It required a centurion. There was a big public spectacle. And part of the idea behind crucifixion was not just the idea that the person was killed, but they were a symbol that that person who rejected the authority of the Romans was nothing. That the Romans had the power, and they're going to demonstrate that power over this person. That's what the cross was about. It was a symbol of suffering. I mean, think about it this way. What comfortable position is there to carry a cross? I mean, honestly and truly. I mean, after you've been scourged, I don't care what you put on anybody. It's going to hurt. It's going to be painful. Right? And a lot of times, when people come to Jesus, they come to him with this idea that having a relationship with him is going to mean that life is smooth and that there's not going to be hard times and there's not going to be pain. And that is false. Jesus says, take up your cross. And we sometimes have lost the understanding of what that is. The biblical reality is that those people who were carrying the cross were in pain and agony, and ultimately they were on their way to die. Because the cross ultimately was a symbol of death. I want us to think about that. Jesus, when he says, if you want a relationship with me, he invites his followers to die to themselves. To crucify themselves. That's what he's talking about here. Right? For those who carried the cross during this time, the end was certain. They were going to die. And so when Jesus calls us into a relationship with him, he says, you want to follow me? Take up your cross, the symbol of death. And so here's the question that I'm asking these days. And it's one that I want to invite you to consider too. Am I really carrying a cross if there is no sacrifice in my life? I want you to think about that. When is the last time that following Jesus actually cost us something? When is the last time it cost us a relationship? When is the last time that following Jesus cost us a promotion or a job? When is the last time it cost us a vacation? When is the last time we were mocked for our faith, Forget about having our lives threatened. When was the last time that we actually were willing to even just give up a meal for the sake of the gospel? That's a haunting question. Can we really say that we are carrying our cross if it hasn't cost us anything? I want you to take a second and answer that question in your mind. Has it cost you anything? If there's no sacrifice, then I'm going to say there's a pretty good chance that we're not really carrying our cross. When Jesus calls us to follow him, he says, take up your cross. Now, the word take is the idea of, again, choice. And you know what's interesting about that is that's not typically how we think about death. In our culture, we think of death as something that is forced upon us, not something that we willingly choose. And yet Jesus says, take up your cross. And we oftentimes stop there. And while that's important, that last word makes a big difference. Take up your cross daily. You see, sometimes we have, and we teach in this idea that dying to self is a one-time thing, but it's not. It's a daily thing. Every day, we're to crawl upon the altar and sacrifice ourselves. My own desires, my own wishes, my own wants, they get pushed aside. They die so that I can live for Christ's desires and his wants and his will, right? And that's probably part of the biggest challenge to this idea, right? When we take up our cross. And some people may be out there and you may be listening to me and you may go, Jonathan, what you're saying sounds crazy. I don't understand. And I know that. Paul actually talks about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. Paul writes this. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Right? We need to think about that way. And I want to challenge your thinking just one more way. A lot of times we have, in American vernacular, we've adopted this idiom of take up the cross, or this is my cross to bear, as a burden that's been thrust upon us, and we've got to bear up under it. Read what Jesus said again. If you would come after me, deny yourselves and take up your cross. A cross, brethren, according to the Bible, is something that we take up by choice. It's not something that's forced on us. It's something that we choose to bear so that we can be made in the image of our Lord. The last part of this, when Jesus is calling them, he says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And I want to talk a little bit about that last part. You know, it's important for us to remember that these words that we're reading are an invitation. This is not a forced thing. Jesus invites us into this kind of a relationship. And so, how can that be, right? How can that work? Well, let me kind of remind you. One of the basic, most basic truths about love is this. Love can never be forced. Matter of fact, if you try to force love, I can almost guarantee that it's not going to be there. Love can't be forced. And so Jesus invites us to deny ourselves. He invites us to become a slave willingly, out of love. And you know, as a slave, I think that's something we need to consider. When we go out and we talk to people about this message, do we tell them about our master? Let me give you some thoughts. As a slave, let me tell you about my master. My master provides for me. I don't have to worry about the things of this world because he's going to take care of it. He tells me that. My master, he takes care of my needs. He protects me. He walks with me through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to be with me. He's going to comfort me. My master has the power to forgive sins. You know, sometimes I think we forget who our master is as his people. And if you're here this morning and sin has shattered your life, if there are things going on that you can't fix, guess what? He can. My master can take the broken pieces of your lives and put them back together into a beautiful mosaic. That's the power of my master. If you're worn out and you're exhausted, my master says, I will give you rest. When we become a slave to my master, he says, you're my son. You're my daughter. You're my friend. You see, it's a great thing to be a slave to my master. One of the reasons that I think sometimes people don't choose this, they don't become in that relationship, they don't choose to come after Jesus, is that they were never given the opportunity to make the choice on their own. What do I mean by that? Let me kind of put it this way. They grew up maybe with a great deal of pressure to be a follower. And they never really chose to pursue Jesus out of their own will. Right? Maybe that's what happened to you this morning. Maybe your parents decided to pressure you. And as you look back and you think about your relationship with Jesus, you realize you've never personally decided to follow after him, to come after him. Maybe it was your family's tradition to come to worship, to call themselves Christians, but you don't ever really remember going because you wanted to. Mom said you had to, or dad made you. And that's the approach to the relationship that you've had with him. Right? And even maybe now, even as still as an adult, you feel pushed to come. Because what would people think if they didn't see me? Or, oh no, what will my mom and dad feel about me? How will that? Let me tell you something. If that's why you're following Jesus, you're not pursuing a relationship with Jesus. You're tolerating a relationship with him to pursue other relationships. Jesus wants us to choose to come after him on our own. Pursuing Jesus is your choice. And he wants you to make that choice willingly. And he wants you to know what it means to accept his invitation. Because the simple truth is, Jesus will settle for nothing less than being the absolute greatest love in your life. The scripture reading this morning, right? If you desire father or mother more than me, you're not worthy. If you love son or daughter more than me, you're not worthy of me. If you're not willing to take up your cross daily and follow, you're not worthy. Jesus says, I want to be number one. I want to be the first and foremost in your life. That's the kind of relationship that he wants. He wants to be our first pursuit above anybody and everything. Maybe this morning you're here at the other end of the spectrum, right? Maybe you're here this morning and you're someone who once was a follower of Jesus passionately, but your heart just isn't in it anymore. Right? You know, you want to come after Jesus. You want to feel that passionate pursuit. But somewhere along the way, a long time as the years have passed, that passion has gotten lost and it's just not there anymore. Maybe that describes you this morning. The truth is, instead of feeling passion, you're apathetic or indifferent towards Christ and his mission and his church. You don't really want to feel that way, but you find yourself feeling that way. What do you do? I want to say, start by confessing the sin of apathy. Start by doing that. Humble yourself before God. Confess the fact that he hasn't been first, that somebody or something else has come before him. And then I want you to remember why. Why the passion? You know, a lot of times as a church, when we talk about things like this, we start talking about giving God our time and giving God our money. And while those things are okay, I want us to really understand it's not about those things, it's about the why. It's about the why behind those things. Okay? God, let me tell you something. God doesn't need your time. God is eternal. He always has been. He always will be. God doesn't need anything from you. He doesn't need that time. God doesn't need your money. He made this world and all that's in it. It's all his. He just lets you borrow some stuff while you're here. He doesn't need that. You ever thought about it that way? God doesn't even need our worship. The Bible says that if we are silent, the very rocks and trees will cry out in praise to God. So why? Why does God want those things from us? And the truth is this, because they are indicators of whether or not we're willing to come after Him. Remember the why. God pursued us. I want you to think about it this way. God came after us when He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to live a life free of sin, to go to a cross and take the punishment of our sin, and to rise and make a way for us to be with Him. God pursued us. The call that He has and He offers through His Son this morning is, will you pursue Him? I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know if you don't know who He is and you don't know about Jesus. I don't know if maybe you've been claiming to follow Him but really haven't chosen to pursue Him on your own. And I don't know if you're in the spot of, well, you've said you've pursued Him, but you've really lost the passion. But wherever you are this morning, God is calling you through His Son to pursue Him. If we can help you do that, please come as we stand and as we sing.